Hello and welcome to this week's International Media. For today's main interview, we'll be joined on the phone by Daniel Knapp from the Defense and Security Intelligence and Analysis Group, or IHS Jane. He'll talk about the rise of ad-blocking apps and how they impact online advertisements, and ultimately how they could change the way we access news stories online. But first, some of the latest media news in the world. And first to Hungary, where police are being accused by rights groups of having obstructed and in some cases attacked foreign journalists who were covering the refugee crisis at the Serbian border. Three Serbian journalists were attacked by police on the 16th of September, with one suffering injuries on his hands. Hungary has been criticized recently for the tough stance it has taken at defending its borders against the influx of refugees. Eva Simon is a member of the executive board of the Hungarian Civil Liberties Union. She says this is unacceptable.
Some of them not only were beaten, but also taken into custody according to the new criminal code regulation, because crossing the border illegally is a new crime, and that's what happened while they were following the asylum seekers who were crossing the Hungarian border. The problem is that the police does not really communicate what we know, that the reasoning behind taking someone who is working for the press into custody is that they were part of the mass who were crossing the Hungarian border illegally. But otherwise, beating anyone, beating even, you know, asylum seekers, is illegal in Hungary. So therefore, there was no reasoning on behalf of the police with this respect. What we know is that in the last few months in Hungary, the law enforcement authorities infringed freedom of the press by several different measures. But that was the most serious when journalists were beaten. But otherwise, whenever journalists wanted to enter into refugee camps in Hungary, it's really dangerous from the perspective of freedom of the press that the Hungarian authorities does not let the press work properly.
This was Eva Simon with the Hungarian Civil Liberties Union in Budapest.
RFI, the world at your doorstep.
Now on to other news, where the European Court of Justice said this week that current data sharing rules between the European Union and the US are invalid. This is a victory for Max Schrems, an Austrian privacy campaigner who has been trying to block Facebook from being able to pass EU citizens' data to US authorities. But this is not a final decision. However, if EU judges side with this opinion, tech giants such as Google, Facebook or Apple could have to drastically change the way they operate in Europe. Joey McNamee, the director of advocacy group European Digital Rights, told RFI this is a significant decision.
It's a very significant decision because the decision or the opinion of the Advocate General is that one of the options that companies use to transfer data to the US, the Safe Harbor Scheme, is based on an agreement which should be declared invalid under European law. Now, this agreement has been in force since the year 2000, so we've had 15 years of data transfers to the US on the basis of a very dubious and now apparently illegal agreement. There was an article in the Irish Times which I think summed up the position for companies quite well. The analysis was, look, it really was obvious from the year 2000 to now that the Safe Harbor Agreement is not fit for purpose. It was a joke. It is a joke. They find themselves in a problem very much of their own making.
This was Joey McNamee speaking to RFI from Brussels.
RFI, the world at your doorstep.
Have you ever tried to read the news online just to be met by several ads, some of them even as unskippable videos? Annoyed by the number of pop-ups and incentives to, for example, discover an incredible weight loss recipe, you might have then decided to install an adblock application. Well, you're certainly not the only one, and now that Apple allows the use of such apps on its smartphones, experts expect even more people to use them. There's just one small issue about them. While they block ads, and that's a good thing, these apps also block media outlets from receiving money from ads. And some even worry that the rise of ad blockers could mean the end of free internet. Earlier this week, I asked Daniel Knapp, the director of the ad department at IHS Jane, how big this ad blocker trend is.
Ad blocking has become completely mainstream. We saw only in January 2010, there were 21 million users that used Adblock, the most popular ad blocking software. This figure, by 2014, exploded to 144 million people. And we just got new data in a couple of weeks ago that shows an increase this year, 2015, of 41%. And new estimates saying that there's over 200 million people now using ad blockers.
Now, there's some people arguing that ad blocking will see the end of online advertising. What should we make out of those statements?
It's definitely hurting publishers. Advertising is the primary business model to get news and content created on the internet. If people don't see ads, publishers like The Guardian, Le Monde in France, and others lose a very viable and the most important revenue stream. And we see it's hurting both the smaller guys and the big guys as well. Predominantly, it's actually hurting Google. There are estimates that Google actually is losing on a yearly basis around $7 billion due to ad blockers. So what needs to happen is a new conversation between publishers and consumers on how we should do advertising on the internet. We have seen a huge problem that there has been an explosion of advertising, of the volume of advertising. Many, many ad units, which are of very low value, being pumped to the consumer. Publishers and consumers need to think about how to do better advertising. Less ads, but better ads. Another thing is, if we look at the rise of ad blockers, we see surprisingly a very strong correlation between the growth of ad blockers and the growth of targeted advertising. Today on the internet, most advertising is delivered what you call through real-time bidding. Think of financial markets, think of high-frequency trading. This is essentially how advertising today works, where as a user load the page, in the background, there's an auction going on, where hundreds or thousands of advertisers bid a price in real time on your attention. And this is creepy to many consumers. The ad industry needs to understand that it has to be more transparent about how this data is being gathered.
If there's a failure of addressing the issues you just mentioned, do you think we could see more and more websites, such as Le Monde, but other small websites, especially news websites, saying, well, listen, if you come to a website, there'll be no tracking, we'll retain no data from you, and there'll be no ads, but you'll have to pay? Do you think, in a sense, we could see the end of free internet?
Partly, yes. And there are always some new startups in the ad blocking space that try to do exactly that. SourcePoint, founded by a former Google executive, is one example, where the company tries to give consumers a choice whether to view an ad or to pay for the content. So yes, we'll see on the one hand a move more towards paid content models, but not every publisher can afford a paywall. Not every content is unique enough for a paywall. So instead, what we will see is publishers moving to players like Apple, like Facebook, to be monetized through these large platforms. So the rise of ad blocking doesn't only hurt publishers, but it also helps, in particular Google and Apple, to take greater control of the content that is out there on the internet to curate it to users. So ultimately, the biggest trend that we're seeing is a return to a walled garden internet, a closed internet.
Do you think we could see more of paid content by advertisers published on news websites?
There used to be a Chinese wall in publishing that strictly separated advertising and editorial content. The two weren't supposed to meet. But with the rise of ad blockers, it's these types of content that really, really gain traction. We see, for instance, in the video space, the biggest driver today is not advertising revenue from an ad spot, but branded content. The rise of ad blocking means it becomes increasingly difficult to distinguish between what's a real journalistic piece of work.
This was Daniel Knapp, the director of the ad department at IHS Jane, speaking to us from London. And this brings us to the end of this week's International Media with me, Fabien-Yannick Charbonnel. You're listening to Radio France International. Do stay with us.